Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of On to the Next One. We are back following a memorable UFC Vegas 88 event, an event so memorable that even my dog is yelping about it on this Sunday morning. Thank you for joining us. I am Mike Heck, and joining me back on the show, the co-host, the co-matchmaker, the Prince of Positivity, and my best friend. We had Jed Meshew filling in for him last week. He did an admirable job, but I got to say, I missed you, my best friend, Alexander K. Lee. How are you?
I missed you too, my best friend. I missed you, and I missed all the listeners in MMA land. It was I had a great vacation, very well rested, came back to a card that featured a heavyweight headliner, a couple of women's bantamweight fights, which I love, a fight that got pretty middleweighty to open up the main card, but we did get a finish out of it. So I came back to MMA. I came back to pure MMA. No spectacle. No hype, no over-the-top storylines, just two folks getting into a cage and working out their differences.
I mean, that's pretty much all we can say about it. So with that said, let's get right into the matchmaking. That's why all the people are here. There aren't a lot of real storylines to discuss here. And let's start with the main event victor. His name is Marcin Tybura. He gets back in the win column in his second consecutive main event matchup. He fought Tom Aspinall in Aspinall's return back in July in London. Aspinall ran him over in just over a minute. And Tybura does the damn thing against Tai Tuivasa. Shout out to Tai Tuivasa for his entrance music. Always a fun one. But in the end, it was a victory song for Marcin Tybura. He gets a first round submission against one Tai Tuivasa. Now Tai Tuivasa has lost four in a row. But as far as Marcin Tybura goes, this was pretty easy for me. I kind of feel like we may be on the same wavelength because based on the listener submissions, I'm on the same wavelength as pretty much all of them. And I sort of gave away my pick on the post-fight show. So even if we are on, even if we are simpatico, AK, I don't think we're queuing up the band. Who do we got here for Marcin Tybura?
Gelson Almeida.
Yeah.
Gelson Almeida. I think this is, don't worry about, did you say you were queuing up the band or don't bother to queue up the band?
We don't need to queue up the band. I just don't think there's anybody else that's like realistic.
Gelson, you are convinced he is probably a heavyweight going forward. He is a massive fellow now. He has bulked up into true heavyweightiness. And as he had to, obviously, I think to even have a chance to compete with Curtis Blaydes, and it did pay off. I mean, he could wrestle with Curtis Blaydes. It's just when it came to taking hits from a heavyweight, maybe not the best situation for him. So I am still convinced that he has a future at 205, but it will take time. I do think it will take time for him to drop back down to that 205 limit, because I do not think he's anywhere near it right now. And yes, so a fight with Tybura makes sense. Pop it on a main card of a pay-per-view, or again, another fight night headliner for Tybura, who I think I'm right, this was his first main event win. I think he's had three. I want to say DuBrow's had three Fight Night main events. He finally got himself a W.
This is his third one.
Congrats to Marcin.
Yeah, good for Marcin Tybura. He didn't have a call out in mind. He said he just wants like a top guy. I think Almeida's perfect. I think the matchup makes sense. And I think I don't want to say this to be disrespectful to Marcin Tybura, but I think if the UFC were hopeful to invest in like one of these guys as becoming a future champion, it's probably Jailton Almeida. So I think this is like a really good stylistic matchup to potentially get Almeida back on track. But who knows? Maybe Marcin Tybura can play spoiler again. We are not going to matchmake for the penultimate fight. As you know, if you are longtime listeners of this program, the matchup between Brian Battle and Angelosa ended in a no contest, no matter how you feel about it. So we are, one, not only going to not matchmake for either guy, but I'm not even going to read a single listener submission involving either of these two guys. That's the rule. We just got to move on with our lives here.
It should be. I'll play it by ear. I thought I saw some intriguing matchups for Battle and a narrative. I do sense a narrative forming around him, like a good narrative. So I may read a call.
All right. This should just run this one back. Call it a day, and we can just put this one to bed. But we'll move on to the featured bout, 205 pounds. Boy, what a division that is. Kennedy Inchichuku, a gigantic favorite, loses a split decision to the wily veteran Ovin St. Preux in a fight that was way better than advertised, especially the third round. But Ovin St. Preux gets the job done via split decision. And I think it's time. I think there's only one matchup that works here, and it works for both guys. It is a fight we have seen before, and I think it's time to run it back. And let's see it again. Let's do Ovin St. Preux looking to exact some revenge against the former title challenger, Dominic Reyes. Let's run it back. OSP Reyes. Part 2, AK, your thoughts.
And let's be honest, the would-be champion. I mean, I have reviewed True. That fight several times, including in an official capacity for MMAfighting.com, and it is one of the rare title fights that I truly consider to be a robbery. I do think Dominic Reyes beat John Jones once upon a time. I like it, Mike. I saw it a lot. The fight with Ulberg, this Reyes-Ulberg fight, keeps falling through. That's probably a sign to the MMA guys. Maybe leave this one alone. Even though it made sense, it's a fight I think you had picked previously, I think, and also listeners had picked. So I think people wanted to see that Reyes-Ulberg fight. Ulberg has a new opponent, right? Has he actually gotten someone new for whenever he's supposed to fight next? Or is he still waiting for the Reyes matchup?
Let me take a gander, because they tried to rebook this one on the Atlantic City card, and it did not pan out.
Yeah, but simply put,
it is Alonzo Menafield.
Oh, he does? Okay.
On May 11th. They were going to do Menafield on the Atlantic City card. They rescheduled it to May 11th in St. Louis. There you go.
Okay, well, there you go. So Ulberg has an opponent, and Reyes is officially free. And frankly, if we never saw Reyes-Ulberg, I don't know if anyone's going to be like torn up about it. So it does make sense to run it back, the OSP Reyes. I just went a different direction. I looked who's ahead of OSP in the rankings. And I went with Ryan Spann. No storyline, really. Just OSP surprising me with the Kennedy win. I thought Kennedy was going to knock him out. I forgot about the grit of, again, one of the UFC light heavyweight division's lifers. I mean, this is 25 light heavyweight fights now. He's got a couple of heavyweight fights in there, too. He just gets it done. Just gets it done. You know, OSP, not a future Hall of Famer unless he has an insane run to a title. But at 40 years old, you just can't count the guy out. You can't count out experience, Mike.
Very, very true. Very, very true. Let's move on to the next bout, 145 pounds. Christian Rodriguez gets another one done, defeats Isaac Dolgarian. I don't know if you saw what Isaac Dolgarian posted on his Instagram stories, but he's accusing one Christian Rodriguez of being greased up.
Come on.
In the first round. True story. Saying the first round, said he, even though he got a 10-8, he was saying that he's grappled and fought with a lot of people who have been dry and or greased, and he felt like Christian Rodriguez was a little too heavy on the grease there.
Wow. I guess he's implying I would have finished him, all right? Is this Dolgarian saying, I don't go past the first round, and I would not, and that would have stayed true had he not allegedly been greasing. I'm not a doctor, Mike. Some people are just greasy, right?
I don't know. I'm my, also not a doctor.
I don't mean to embarrass my family, but I come from a family of some fairly greasy people. If you ever meet me, if we ever meet in real life, I hate to bring it up. We just had a very close missed connection this past weekend in the state of New York. But if anyone sees me out, you would see, if any listeners ever see me out in Toronto, you would take one look at me and go like, "It's a greasy looking dude." So maybe Isaac Dilgarian is right, but maybe it's just natural human grease. And that is an advantage that Christian Rodriguez has. Because, hey, you know what? You know who else couldn't keep him down, had some trouble grappling with him? Raul Rosas Jr. So that's – and again, I'm not accusing Christian Rodriguez of greasing. He just may naturally secrete some grease, and it may be to his advantage. It may be his championship secret. And I can't wait to dig into this story. We'll ask – if we get a chance to talk to C-Rod, we'll ask him about this his greasiness.
Well – Isaac obviously is feeling some sort of greasy way about how this all played out, but Christian Rodriguez was the victor after moving up to 145 pounds. So what do we do here?
I saw a lot of people wanting to keep him as this zero taker. They like this. They like that storyline. Like, oh, let's keep putting him as other guys who haven't been beaten yet, which is cool. I went the other way. I want to go with a veteran, another guy who's a fast starter. I really want to test this Christian Rodriguez, like, outlasting people thing, because Mike, the fight went almost as we predicted it. We said most people predicted it. Isaac Dilgarian, first round finisher, is going to come out hot. Christian Rodriguez just got to survive the storm and then show off that cardio and outlast him. And we talked a lot about live betting. And then you and I both almost said, hey, we almost jumped into it. DraftKings, I saw it get as high as +450 in the second round. And then it very quickly dropped down. So it never got to like crazy levels, like +1,000. Rodriguez to win after the first round. That would have been a fun little $2 bet to throw out there and would have paid off. And we won't get into the scoring. It is a little screwy, but I'm open to interpreting that second round, I guess. What was I saying? Daniel Pineda, Mike. I'm going way veteran, way the opposite of the guys he's fought. I'm going an incredibly veteran fighter. Guy, again, fast starter. Christian Rodriguez survives that. Maybe he wins a decision or can submit Daniel Pineda. Daniel Pineda never goes to a decision, so that would be interesting to watch.
That's a good pick. I have no issue with that. We're booking in the short term, AK. The UFC, as we just mentioned, with the Carlos Ulberg, Alonzo Menafield fight going to St. Louis, Missouri on May 11th. Let's send C-Rod to St. Louis, Missouri as well on May 11th. Let's get a quick turnaround. Let's get him right back in there. He doesn't have to cut 35 anymore. And let's allow him to be the away team. And we'll throw him in there with Missouri native Sean Woodson. I think that's going to be a fun little fight. C-Rod is going to be vastly undersized in that fight because Sean Woodson is a freaking tank at 145 pounds. I know Sean Woodson wants to fight on that card, and you know what? He should fight on that card. It's in St. Louis. When does the UFC ever get to Missouri? I think actually they get there more, but St. Louis is close to where Sean lives, so let's do C-Rod versus Sean Woodson. I think that's a good little prelim fight for May 11th, fight night in front of more than 17 people. So I like that.
It a lot. I like contrast and stuff. Even the Joseann Nunes, Chelsea Chandler fight, I enjoyed watching. Like, wow, Chelsea Chandler's huge, and Joseann Nunes is a tiny bantamweight. But speaking of like the weight class of Christian Rodriguez, like I think he should stick at featherweight, right, for as long as possible. I understand he's clearly not that big compared to some of the large, as you mentioned, Sean Woodson and some other guys at 145. It's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue going forward. But man, he really struggled with that bantamweight weight cut. He's a young guy. I'm sure he can work it out. But how long do you think he stays here at 145, Mike? I guess as long as he keeps winning, or I don't know. Like, let's say he fought Sean Woodson and lost. Would you want him to try and make that 135 drop right away, or do you think like maybe cut it out 145 for like a year or two?
I think he's okay there. Yeah. Isaac's good. He's a good fighter. That's a good win to have on the resume. So I think he's fine there. I think he could beat Sean Woodson. Like, Sean Woodson's a good fighter. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of potential with Sean that he probably hasn't tapped into yet, but I think it's a fight Christian could win. So, and even if he goes back to 35, I don't look at Christian as a guy who's going to be fighting for a world title or anything like that. Just a solid potential top 15 guy. I think that's kind of where his ceiling lies. And, you know, we'll kind of go from there, but I think he's fine at 145 and let's see where this takes him. If he can get through Sean Woodson, then we got a little something here. So let's move on to people who probably could be fighting at 45, but have found themselves in a division lower than that. Let's get to the ladies. Macy Chiesan gets herself a first round submission win. She continues on. And this is not going to be a big thing because we talked about this on the People's Pre-Fight Show. We talked about it a little bit on the Post-Fight Show as well. This is just like a little mini tournament to slowly, and I mean slowly, climb the women's bantamweight ladder rung by rung by rung. And it all started on Saturday. Macy Chiesan got a win. Chelsea Chandler got a win. Let's just match these two ladies up and see what comes from it. So that's where I'm going. What say you?
Yeah, I went with Chelsea Chandler too. And again, we can't keep the band is very disappointed. I don't know if you can see, Mike. The band is like, what's going on? Like, they have their instruments out. They've heard two Friends Forever moments, but we have told them, not for this card, guys. Not for this card, not for these picks. They're a little too on the nose, I feel.
Yes.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Maybe maybe we cue up the band for this last one. If we are simpatico here, then the band is going to be queuing up in a big way. Gerald Meerschaert. This guy is just first team get or get got all-star, always finds a way to get in there. Even if he has a first round that isn't all that compelling, boy, round two GM3 is super fun and can get things done. As he did against Brian Barberina, it was a tough night for the Bam Bams. They both go 0-2. They both see their losing streaks extend to four fights. Just kind of a crazy tale with Brian Barberina and Ty Buivasa right
so
now.
But Gerald Meerschaert. I didn't realize that Barberina also lost. Yeah, four straight. Wow.
Yeah. Gerald Meerschaert by submission was a great bet. He didn't have a call out. He just says he wants a beer and a nap. But I kind of wish he had this particular call out. He did go to the post-fight press conference, or his post-fight scrum, was asked about this individual specifically, kind of put him over. And I think it will be time, if April 13th goes the way most expected to, for a young, hungry upstart, former Penn State national champion wrestler, if Bo Nickel gets the job done against Cody Brundage, I think it's time we do Gerald Meerschaert versus Bo Nickel. I think that's the next appropriate step up for one Bo Nickel. And Gerald Meerschaert is just perfect for these types of spots. There was a up-and-coming upstart at 185 pounds, kind of flirted with 170 for a hot minute as well, that needed that Gerald Meerschaert test, that got built up with that Gerald Meerschaert test, and he passed it in flying colors would be the gigantic understatement of the century. We're talking about Khamzat Chimaev. I think Gerald Meerschaert, Bo Nickel is the next step if Bo Nickel gets things done at UFC 300, and most believe he will. So that's where I'm at with Gerald Meerschaert. Let's see what the young man can do.
Man, you got me thinking now. Yeah, I mean, that is the perfect matchup for him. I didn't go that way, but that is the perfect matchup because he's, man, how many times has Mearsharp been positioned as the litmus test? And like most people, once they reach that level of being positioned for the litmus test in the UFC, you're not around for much longer after because they keep throwing you in there with younger talents. Like, I'm just going back, June 2020, Ian Heinisch. Ian Heinisch was on a hell of a run. He loses that one. Khamzat, you just mentioned, was the next fight. Obviously, he loses that one. But then a couple of fights later, Mahmoud Muradov was on a hell of a hot streak. GM3 takes him out. A few fights later after that, Bruno Silva. Yeah, very threatening guy. I love people saying, oh, could be a contender at 185. Beats him. And then back-to-back, Joe Pfeiffer and Prochaska. Pfeiffer, obviously, again, super hyped up. And Prochaska, I think, was undefeated before. Undefeated in the UFC. He had one previous loss. Undefeated in the UFC. And then he ekes out a win over GM3. So that is really Mearshart's lot in life. The occasional like random Brian Barberena and like Christoph Jocko fight in there. So that makes a lot of sense. I went like, I guess, in a different direction. I guess I went in a more testing a current contender, which is really not what they used Gerald for. But I went with Andre Muniz. So just a fun fight. You're probably right. You're probably much closer to them lining him up with Bo Nickel, if that goes as most people assume it will. So I do like that matchup. And let me just say quickly for GM3, I don't think I read all his accolades on the post-fight show. One knockout, 10 submissions in the UFC, 27 career submissions. 27 career submissions in his life. So all his wins by stoppage in the UFC. Of course, most UFC middleweight submissions, he had the record already, just extended it. Is now tied with Anderson Silva for the most stoppages at 185 pounds at 11. And he is now tied for the, I think, fourth most submissions in UFC history. He just tied Hoist Gracie and Nate Diaz, 10 each, and it trails only Damian Maia, Jim Miller, and Charles Oliveira. That is freaking impressive, Mike. That's freaking impressive.
It sure is. Yeah. But you have also left off the most memorable victory.
Oh,
most
please.
Memorable piece. Oh.
I'm embarrassed.
Of the resume for one Gerald Mearshart. One of the 16 victories in the, 125 fight career of one Jay Ellis. Hurricane Jay Ellis has a win over Gerald Mearshart.
That's random.
Which is wild. Jay Ellis has literally fought everybody. But that was the thing that happened.
His BTL accolades. I thought you...
Yes, that was March 2007.
He's fought Sam Alvey twice. That's just...
He has.
Weird.
What a career this guy has had. I actually... The first UFC event I ever covered in a professional capacity was the Octagon debut of one Gerald Mearshart in Albany, New York. He submitted Ryan Janes in 94 seconds at the Times Union Center at the time.
You are forgetting. No, wait, hold on. I only know this because I'm looking at the Wikipedia right
now. I'm sorry,
wait.
Joe Gigliotti. That's who it
Joe
was.
Joe Gigliotti.
That's who it was. That was also in Albany. That was in like a little over 4 minutes. So, yeah.
I feel like
I've been on this ride with Gerald Mearshart for a hot minute now.
Was that his own? Oh, no, he fought. Okay, he fought several times. He got twice in the UFC. What happened to Joe Gigliotti?
Let us go to the wild card round, AK. Boys, there's so much to choose from following UFC Vegas 88. Let's select one fighter we have not match made for yet, and let's match make for him right now. So, AK, who is your wild card selection? And I have a feeling we might have picked the same gentleman.
No, I don't think we did, because I think I knew who you were going to pick, and I chose to. I was like, you know what, let Mike handle that. This is Mike business, hint, wink, wink, as it were. Ha, 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 ha. I just went with the obvious, Thiago Moises. I'm such a fan of this guy. Again, a guy... Maybe he never cracks the top 10, hovers around the top 15, holds on to that spot. It's a great test for fighters. But I like he called his shot. He wanted Dan Hooker, Brad Riddell. He'll probably have to wait a little bit. We know Dan Hooker is recovering from an injury. And I think for once being smart about it, I believe he's sort of re-aggravated something. And that's why he's not fighting at the moment. So it could be a while before we see Dan Hooker, possibly like the end of the year. But I don't think Thiago Moises is in a huge hurry. I don't think he's trying to rack up like 3 or 4 fights in 2024. He's at the stage where I think he wants to be picky. And it was a fun call out. I thought it was a fun call out saying, oh, none of you city kickboxing guys want to face grapplers and, you know, step into the cage with me. Let's test that out. So, yeah, I thought he did the thing, not in like a major way, but, you know, did the thing enough to earn himself a big fight. And I think Dan Hooker's that fight. So you go, girl. Thiago Moises.
My dog's being a little rambunctious this morning. He's so excited. He wants me to actually turn back on UFC Vegas 88 so he could rewatch it. Yes, it is Mike Business. I'm going with Mike Davis. A lot of people excited that he has returned. He is quiet, and I mean very quietly, won four straight fights in the UFC's marquee division, 155 pounds, goes out there and finishes Natan Levy. He was asked about who he wants to fight next. He goes, ah, man, I don't know who I want to fight. And then he ran off four names. All of them, probably, I mean, the Patty one from a rankings perspective makes sense. It works, but it's probably not going to happen, especially since Patty just came out and called out Renato Moicano for later on this year. Of course, Moicano fighting UFC 300. But I'm actually going with a name from Mike Davis that he did not mention out of all of those names that he called out. Let's do, let's have a little Mike Davis versus Drew Dober action, AK. I think that's where we're going to go here. Just outside of the top 15. Let's give this, let's see if Mike Davis is a top 15 lightweight. Let's throw him in there with a guy like Drew Dober. Mike and Drew, if they get into a slugfest, it's got to be amazing to watch. And if Mike's just like, nah, dude, I'm not into this, I'm just going to grapple. He can grapple very well, too. And that's obviously the kryptonite for one Drew Dober. Good test for Mike Davis. I think he deserves it. Let's give him that.
Yeah, it's time. It's time. Just Mike Davis, we want to see you in there, buddy. We think this guy has serious potential to be. He has the skills to fight for a world title at 155. He's that good. He's that good. His resume is so far from it. And again, for various reasons, bad luck, just, you know, just bad luck. I think that's the only way I can put it. There's stuff going on with Mike Davis. Just can't get in there. So if he fights three times in 2024, fingers crossed, knocking on whatever wood I have nearby, we'll be talking about him as fighting a top five guy in 2025.
Yeah. His one loss is to Gilbert Burns on super short notice. The one fight in the UFC he like truly struggled in outside of the Burns fight was Mason Jones. And he was so incredibly hurt heading into that fight. But he had to take it because he was out for so long and he needed some money. So he had to take it. So he basically fought Mason Jones with like one hand and like one leg and still had a fight of the year contender and got the victory. So a healthy Mike Davis is a very dangerous Mike Davis. And hopefully this is a year where we get to see him compete more than once in a calendar year. So
you ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Anything else we need to touch on before we go to the peeps?
No checking the tape. And let me just remind people, I know we don't do it as often now. We're still giving out Otno points. You just got to remind us. You got to jog our memories. So if you send in picks and you remember and you really want a point, just, and it's hard. Mike, we talked about it, it's hard before because there's so many people sending in picks. It's hard for anyone to just to be the one, the only one who picked a certain fight. But I know you're out there. I know you're out there and I'm sure it's in my notes buried somewhere in a hard drive. And I just, haven't been able to go back and look for it. The fights are coming fast and furious in the first quarter of 2024. So yeah, give us a little nudge. Give us a little nudge. You want that point?
Yes. I think you guys all know the doo-doo rules at this point. We will shut them out if you need them. Let's start with Robbie Ryan. This AK might be one of my favorite submissions of all time. Robbie Ryan says, with Otno favorite match fighter Mike Davis actually active and competing, this is a rare opportunity. Marcin Tybura versus Mike Davis. Ryan Battle versus Mike Davis. OSP versus Mike Davis. Christian Rodriguez versus Mike Davis. Macy Chiasson versus Mike Davis. But then he goes, but seriously, Ryan Battle versus Kevin Holland. Marcin Tybura versus Gelson Almeida. Tai Tuivasa versus Marcus Rogério de Lima. There you go.
Well done. Well done, Robert Ryan.
Well done. I chuckled. I chuckled. Let's go to Harry. He likes Canadian and Ellinger versus Hayoni Barcelos. Thiago Moises versus Manuel Torres, Silva versus Jekka Sadagi, Amarim versus Talita Alencar. Golly, the scrambles, the grappling exchanges in that fight will be a lot of fun. Is Alencar booked? I got to give a quick doo-doo check. I just want to make sure. I don't think she is, but I could be wrong. She is not booked. Okay, great. No doo-doo to be found. Filio versus Tagir Ulumbekov. Davis versus Mark Jacasey. Absolutely horrible call-outs by him. I don't think they were horrible call-outs at all. Damn, Harry. Guys won 4 in a row. What do you want him to do?
Harsh.
AK, he's with you. GM3 versus Andre Muniz.
Yeah.
Which I actually like that fight, too.
It'll be fun.
C-Rod versus the Arosa Hamos winner if he stays at featherweight.
Wow.
Okay. Or Damon Blackshear if he goes back down to bantamweight. Okay, and he also likes...
Big jump up at 145. Those are some experienced 145ers.
Yeah. And he likes OSP versus, boy, what a fight this would be. Marcin Prachnio. That is going to be maybe the middleweightiest light heavyweight fight we have ever seen in our lives.
Sure. Book it.
Let's go to Matt Ravelli. Been a while, my man, but I am back. If Brian Battle doesn't have the rematch against Losa, I feel like Battle versus Chaos Williams would be freaking violent. We haven't seen Chaos in a while, and that's true. I don't know what where Chaos Williams is. I know he's training. Not sure why he's still on the sidelines. He obviously wants Christian Rodriguez to go back to 135 to fight Cody Stamann. He feels like that fight would be a lot of fun. And for his final fight, he would like to see Mike Davis versus Ishmael Bonfim, which would be fun as well.
Okay. Again, I think most of the listeners, I feel like, are leaning more towards moving Mike Davis up. I think Mike Davis would be well above Ishmael. And Ishmael's a really good fighter, but I think we want to move him up the ranking. I could see it, though. It just to stay busy. Anything that keeps Mike Davis in the cage.
If I didn't already matchmake for Benoit Saint-Denis, dude, Mike Davis versus Benoit Saint-Denis would be friggin' spectacular. Holy cow. But we could still get there. We'll wrap with Four Corner Sports. I'm not going to read all of these. Brian Battle versus Carlson Harris. Kennedy Inchichuku versus Zach Pauga. Loser leaves town match.
So mean, but true.
Christian Rodriguez versus the winner of Herbert Burns versus Julio Arce. And he likes Mike Davis versus Michael Johnson, regardless of the outcome between Johnson and Matt Frivola. Little Florida on Florida violence. I don't know why I saw this one and I thought I would react better to it.
It would be a name. It would be like by far the biggest UFC name on Mike Davis's resume. But also, it's again, rankings wise, I have Mike Davis well ahead of Michael Johnson at this point. Even though he doesn't have the the strength of schedule that like Michael Johnson has. It could happen. It's not my favorite.
Yeah. All right, you're up.
All right. I'll say the most popular picks, everyone, Tabura and Johnson Almeida. I mean, it makes sense. A lot of OSP, Dominic Reyes too, and a lot of Macy Chiasson and Bueno Silva, which...
Damn.
I think a lot of people assumed whoever won Saturday was like one fight away from a title fight. And yeah, it could go the way we're saying, Mike, this little Grand Prix. Or just, again, Bueno Silva would be a number one contenders fight, right? I mean, for Chiasson anyway. I don't think they'd be booking it to have Bueno Silva fight a rematch for Kell Pennington. But I guess if Kell Pennington lost to Pena, you could do MBS and Pena anyway. The women's bantamweight division has so many appealing permutations. We don't have time in the day to go through them all. I also saw a bunch of Christian Rodriguez, Haider Emile, and this was just to, again, give another undefeated guy. And Chad and Hellinger, they want to throw him in there with Rinya Nakamura. I don't know how I feel about that. Hey, maybe Chad will surprise me again. Our boy Tristan Gordet, Mike Davis, Diego Ferreira, I like it. Gerald Mearshart and Kizriev. And rebook Macy Chiasson and Avila. Oh, no, not rebook, but they were, sorry, Chiasson stepped in for her. So Chiasson, Julie Avila, sure.
Just to throw this out there for the future, Avila is pretty banged up. She suffered a pretty bad knee injury in the Miesha Tate loss. So I think I don't know if it's torn ACL or some sort of CL was badly damaged in that Miesha Tate fight. So I don't know if we're seeing Julia until end of the year at this point. So keep that in mind when we match make for women's 135.
Yeah, it's going to be hard for Julia Avila. I think just like she got into the game a little bit late. And like you said, there's that injury. And yeah, I don't know. How many more fights she's going to have in her in the next couple of years. I hope a lot because we really like Julia Avila. But it's just hard. Just like, you know, life happens. Life happens sometimes. And that's okay. Excuse me, guys. I missed the cough button. Jay Donaghy, Tuivasa, Waldo Cortez, Acosta. Okay. Christian Rodriguez, Cody Stamos.
Whoa. Say that again.
Tuivasa and Waldo Cortez Acosta.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know.
You want to put Ty Tuivasa on a 4-fight losing streak against Waldo Cortez Acosta? Like, we're beyond the building of talents now when it comes to Ty Tuivasa. And if we're going to do it, can we at least do it with somebody fun? Waldo Cortez Acosta, you want to see another guy just tackle Ty Tuivasa and lay on him? I don't want to see that. Where's the Robles de Spain matchups? What are we doing here? Waldo Cortez Acosta, throw freaking Marcin Tybura in there with Waldo Cortez Acosta. Come on. I love you, but jeez, we can't do this to Ty.
As far as I did not get a lot of Tuivasa de Spain, I think someone did send it. They had a funny comment, so I'll read that later. You didn't read one either, right? You didn't get any surprise links.
No,
to Tuivasa.
I didn't.
That's strange. Christian Rodriguez versus Cody Stamen. Again, I get it. I would like to see Christian stay at featherweight for now, but it makes sense. Jay, trolling you, said Mearsharp versus Brendan Allen. Duh. We had told you a long time ago, you'll be banned if you actually suggest that fight, which came up a lot. In the earlier, I don't want to say earlier days, really in recent years of Otno, people saying Mearsharp and Brendan Allen, they're like, please stop. They are best friends. He actually says, Mearsharp and your boy, not Eric Anders, Mike, your boy, Roman Kopylov. And Jafel Filho and Cody Durden, good matchup. I will go to Twitter first here before I get to Instagram. Tack MMA, just one cool pick here. Battle versus Jeremiah Wells, sure. This kind of theme I was talking about. Do you think that Battle is ready to face someone with like 20, 25 pro fights? Do you think it's like time? It's time for, not that that's Jeremiah Wells, but I'm saying more experienced guys. Do you think it's time for Battle to fight more experienced guys? Is what I'm saying.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I thought Angelusa was going to be a tougher fight for him. I know we didn't get to see the whole thing play out, but Ryan Battle is looking damn good in that fight.
Let's see. Sean Haywood, Moises Dober. It's a fight. I kept thinking that fight happened or was booked. I'm not sure it has been, but I like that. Jacqueline Amorim versus Elise Reed. What else is jumping out of me here? Mearsharp versus Michael Oleksychuk. Yep. I mean, again, you want a fight that's not going to go the distance? There you go. You want a guaranteed under? There's your, there's one. OSP, Jimmy Crute. Crute, I think we're still waiting for him to come back from injury, but the timelines could work out. Mike, I hate this so much. I don't know why Sean Haywood was just this. Tibura versus Blades.
Why?
Did you guys do a pick? So obviously Tibura Almeida was on the prelims. Did either of you wildcard pick Curtis or? I mean,
no. Jed did bring up a point that we probably should have match made for Curtis, but he's got to fight Tom Aspinall now. Like, I feel like
even though
I was staunchly against that fight happening, the way Curtis beat Jailton Almeida, you just can't deny it. And I know the UFC doesn't typically do title fights on like fight night cards unless it's like a very special event. But at this point, if they are going to Manchester in July and it seems like that's what they're doing for a fight night card, Tom Aspinall versus Curtis Blaydes for the interim heavyweight title, just it's a pretty damn good main event right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I hate this Tibura pick. I just have it just does nothing for me. Thank you anyway, Sean. Barry O'Reilly, Amarim versus Mizuki. Danny Silva, big step up, says maybe Charles Jourdain. Danny Silva looks good, you know. I'm not sure you could make a case that he didn't even win that fight, but he did look good. Jafel Filho, Nate Maness, Christian Rodriguez, Jung Yong Lee, and then continuing the theme of Battle versus veterans. Battle and Daniel Rodriguez, that would be a big step up, but could be catching him at the right time. Again, going to Instagram, Beans Extreme Memes, Battle versus Tim Means. All of that kind of thing, though. That was weird. Moises versus Dariush. Wait, is this a two? This happened, right? Am I crazy? No, I'm just crazy.
That's I don't think so.
No, that's not a thing. No, he did. Oh, he did long ago. Yes, this is why I remember. His UFC debut.
Oh, that's right. Wow,
over 5 years ago. We are forgiven. So yeah, you could run that one back. He didn't say a two, but you know what, Beans? I also just had to look it up because I did not remember that was a two. So you're right. Christian. It was Christian who had a funny suggestion. Christian said, or said in a funny way, he's with you, Tuivasa and Despain. Oh, this. He thought you would hate this. That's why I wanted to read this. He said, Mike will hate this because it's too soon for Obelus. Hear me out. I need to see him versus Ty before Ty is no longer with the company. So I think it's not crazy to have that fight next. The wild exchanges that would take place in that fight can't be passed up on. So he thought you'd hate this. Chris thought you'd hate
no. this. This makes too much sense. Yeah. Like, it just makes too much sense at this point. Jed suggested that Robelis of Spain should fight Chris Barnett, and that is promotional malpractice right there. You can't do that. But I suggested initially after 299, because Robelis was my wild card, just chuck him in there with Austin Lane and just let him get another highlight reel, or at least just get in there with this, with the guy who's going to just try to punch him real hard. But at this point, dude, just do Ty. Let's just see what he can do. The guy's 35. The window is not a huge one. Throw him in there with Ty Tuivasa. Ty's not going to hate it because he's going to get in there with the dude who could slug it out and is not going to try to tackle him. So I'm cool with it. If you're going to give him a step up, if you're going to try to fast track Robelis to Spain to title contention, you have to do Ty Tuivasa next. You just have to.
Christian thought, yeah, listen, he thought you'd be mad. Instead, you had a friends forever moment, Mike. Get a friends forever moment with Christian.
That's so the one. That's the freaking one.
Hold on. The band. No. They heard the words friends forever. I had to tell them again. Not this week, guys. Not this week. Next week, hopefully, we'll have a lot more.
I just talked to the band leader, and they've already packed up. The band leader said, I mean, we'll unpack if you want, and then gave me a sigh. And I was like, nah, you can keep packing, dude. I'm not going to make you unpack.
That's a real bummer. Speaking of Chris Barnett, how do you feel about him and Tuivasa?
I like that better than the Despain one.
Yeah.
Still, I think after Chris, didn't Christmas wait at heavyweight in his last fight?
He did.
I know he's gone. This dude has gone through so much. So I kind of just want to give Chris. I bring back Rocky Martinez for Chris Barnett. Let's just do that. What are we doing?
How did we never get that? We need to get that somewhere in some promotion somewhere. That was from Left Lane anyway, by the way, Tuivasa Burnett, Left Lane. Also, just rebook Battle Loose. Chiasson, Ketlin Vieira. Everyone booking Chiasson is essentially trying to book her in a number one contender fight. I think that's the idea we're going for here. Mike Davis, Jamie Malarkey. Great fight. I just think Mike Davis is a little bit past that right now, but I just don't know if we can even say that because he just doesn't fight. He just doesn't fight that often. Jafel Filho and Bulldog Bruno Silva, and he's with me on Moises and Hooker. There's a few more to go here. James Sherwood likes Brian. You didn't read James Sherwood, did you?
I did not.
Okay, it's just another suggestion for Battle and Carlston Harris. OSP Nico Negomarianu, Christian Rodriguez, Andre Feely. Interesting. Again, huge experience gap. That match, I actually think, would not go Christian Rodriguez's way. If he could beat Feely, if he could take a decision from Feely, I would be really, really, really impressed. More impressed than I already am. I like Christian Rodriguez.
What about Brian Battle versus Nico Price?
That makes a lot of sense.
I love
and
that fight.
I do think they'll rebook this fight, but I would hope that's a future call-out for Brian Battle. It's just the next logical step. Tino Alvarez, Danny Silva, Sean Woodson, anything else jumping in? Mike Davis, Ludovic Klein. Again, these are a lot of great fights on paper for Mike Davis. I think we're all just hoping he can get a little bit higher ranked while also staying busy. But I don't know. Maybe they're not compatible. Maybe he has to stay busy. He has to take fights like Ludovic Klein. OSP, Dustin Jacoby, Brian Battle, Max Griffin. Again, another veteran choice. And I should not even read this, Mike. It's Marcin Tybura versus Jairzinho. And no, Jairzinho is fighting one man next. That man's name is Derek Lewis. What are we doing? What are we doing? No more. This is what happens when we skip the disclaimer, Mike. I should have added that disclaimer this week. No fights for Jairzinho or Derek Lewis until they fight each other next. I get it. Rosenstrike kind of tweeted, like, I've got an eye on you, Martin. Like, this fight could happen. And yes, that has all the makings of a fight night headliner. But Derek Lewis got to happen first.
Yes, that's it.
And Mike, last one, once more picking up on sort of these, this Jose Aldo at 301 report, Jose Aldo, Jonathan Martinez. Again, a fight that I don't think we've posted on MMAfighting.com yet, because guys, we have not confirmed that yet. We're not saying it's not going to happen. Mike, you've reached out, you've done your part, you've reached out. It sounds like it's going to happen. A lot of sites report it. ESPN announced it. But guys, we are still getting on that. We want to make sure this is 100% locked in before we report that to you. But either way, apparently Jose Aldo, and Martina's fighting. And I just want to read this from Ian Fergus. I should have given him a welcome to the party, pal. Pretty sure this is the first time he's messaged me. Just says, Jose Aldo versus Faber would be better for 301. Faber is not officially retired. He, as far as we heard, there's a rumor he might have a grappling match. He might be doing a grappling match.
Yeah,
for
he's
his
doing
promotion
a grappling
for
match in the main event of his own event.
Yes, A1. Uriah Faber's A1 Combat Club, Combat Fighting, something. Good, very good promotion, by the way, guys. A lot of highlights, and it's on Fight Pass regularly. You guys have that. It's no extra cost. But I agree. I think we all want to see Aldo, if he was going to come back, fight a legend. So him and Faber 2, even though I don't think it would go much different from their first fight. If anything, it might go even worse for Faber. I just don't know if Faber has ever had anything for Aldo, and even at this advanced stage of his career, probably still doesn't. But I would still rather have him fight a legend than Jonathan Martinez. Even though when that fight comes around, we'll all be excited about it. Cruz or Faber would have been nice choices. But we got any interest in that Aldo versus Faber, Mike?
Sure.
Two, I guess.
No. Not particularly. I mean, I watched Jose Aldo kick your eye Faber in the legs a whole bunch, and I don't think Uriah wants to go through that again. So it's just, the whole thing is weird to me. You know what I mean? It's just very strange. This is the UFC just trying to throw a Hail Mary here to try to boost this card up at all, because let's be honest, it ain't tremendous. It ain't great. But hey, big opportunity potentially for Jonathan Martinez, and let's see if this is what ends up happening. And if so, can Jonathan Martinez pick up the biggest win of his career and just make a gigantic boost at 135 pounds, where it's very tough to do that?
Yeah, we're happy for Jonathan Martinez. That's really like the most consistent take we've had on it, is we're happy for Jonathan Martinez, but I think depending who you ask, we're all over the place as far as like what this means for Jose Aldo going forward. How excited should you be for Jose Aldo coming back? Mileage may vary, guys. Mileage may vary on this one, but it does appear that is happening in 301. But that is, Mike, I think that's, I can't believe it. We made it to the end of our UFC Vegas 88 talk. It's been quite a ride. And if you ever told me that we'd have so much Martin Tabora, his face so much on the front page of MMAfighting.com, I would not have believed you. But that's what you get when you win your first main event. You know, you get all this coverage on MMAfighting.com. You get 15 solid minutes of post-fight presser time. It's his world. We're just living in it.
That's true. We're also going to be living in a world where the UFC is heading back to the world's most famous apex. Woo! For UFC Vegas 89. 14 big fights here, AK, and we have a 10 p.m. main card that features six fights, six of them, including the main event, Amanda Ribas versus Rose Namajunas. We have Carl Williams being the second half of the Taffa complete full circle switch up. No longer fighting Junior Taffa, he's fighting Justin Taffa. Justin Taffa was supposed to fight Marcus Rogério de Lima at UFC 298. Junior stepped in on short notice after Taffa got injured, and now Taffa returned in the favor. That is, as of now, the co-main event for UFC Vegas 89. We have the return of Edmund Shahbazyan taking on AJ Dobson. Excuse me. Let me just make sure I got this right. I'm going off good old Tapology, and Tapology never really stirs me wrong. Yes, Carl Williams, Justin Taffa is the co-main event. Edmund Shahbazyan, AJ Dobson, the featured bout, 185 pounds. We got some bantamweights on the main card. Peyton Talbot versus Cameron Simon. Billy Quarantillo versus the newly re-signed to the UFC, Yusuf Salal. He is back at 145 pounds. Yusuf Salal is stepping in as an injury replacement. Fernando Padilla versus Luis Pajuelo is the main card opener. Featured prelim, Kurt Hollebaugh, the Ultimate Fighter, takes on Trey Ogden. Ricardo Ramos takes on Julian Arosa. Miles Johns, Cody Gibson, Stephanie Bruna versus Julia Pilastri. Jarno Ahrens versus Steven Wynn. Monserrat Rendon versus Daria Zelazniakova. Igor Severino versus Andre Lima. And what better way to kick off an event at the world's most famous Apex than a heavyweight over spectacular. Mo Usman taking on Mick Parkin. That is UFC Vegas 89, AK. How excited are you for this card? And let me just say, shout out and a thank you to the higher ups at MMAfighting.com who are giving your boy a rare Saturday off when this one all goes down.
I have not checked my schedule, but I assume that means I am not getting a Saturday off, and that's okay. This is a failure on my part. I am not familiar with a lot of these fighters, I'm going to be honest with you. I shouldn't say that because some of them I think have been featured on Misfits, but I also feature like 800 fighters a year in that article, so I forgive me if I don't remember some of these people. This is a card. This is much like the card we just watched, Mike. This is another card. That
it certainly is.
It's got some serious stakes in the main event, though, and that I think we can all appreciate. So go into this card with almost the same eyes as you did UFC Vegas 88 people, as in, you know, keep an eye on some people that some of these folks might break out in the future, could have one or two fun fights here or there, a few nice finishes. And again, in a main event that could have title implications depending which way it goes. And also, if Rose Namajunas loses, I'm interested to see how will matchmaking. We'll say it now, Mike. If Hebus wins, I do think we matchmake for both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Let's go that way. Let's go that way.
What are the betting lines on that fight? Right. Let me take a gander. Rose minus 175. Hebus comes back at plus 145.
That's gonna move. I feel like that's gonna move. I don't know which way, but it's gonna move.
Yeah. Well, that's UFC Vegas 89. Should be an interesting week. There is a Misfits boxing card on Saturday night as well, so the combat sports action will be a plenty. And I believe we'll have some announcements this week as well pertaining to what we're going to do on the road to UFC 300. We got some fun things that are going to be coming up. I think on BTL, I'm going to announce a couple of things that we're going to be doing. And I think you guys are going to love it. AK, you may not even know about this, but I might even tell you off the air. And then we're just going to be marching away to T-Mobile Arena, to UFC 300, that historic event. And I think everyone's going to be looking forward to it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So until next week, I am Mike Heck. That is AK. Always remember the golden rule. Don't take this stuff too seriously. MMA is supposed to be fun. And are we going to have fun after UFC Vegas 89 right here on to the next one, the podcast.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.